Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, it's the John Osterlin Morning Show. New Orleans Morning Radio Show. And did you see the 17-year-old that was arrested this week here in the city of New Orleans? They link him to around 50 robberies. 50! And he's 17 years old. He was arrested Tuesday for robberies in the Lower Garden District near Magazine Street for some robberies over there. When they arrested him, they say this one 17-year-old here in the city of New Orleans is connected to around 50 armed robberies. When they got to his house and made the arrest on Tuesday mornings, they found in his possession at his house an AR-15 style rifle, armor-piercing rifle ammunition. Those aren't just regular bullets. They found 97 ecstasy pills in a bag that he had. Remember, he's 17 years old.
That took a left. We went from armor-piercing bullets to ecstasy pills. I thought we were still going on the armor, man.
And they figure the New Orleans police can connect him to around 50 armed robberies. Coleman, you've never done ecstasy, have you?
I think I've experimented with X in the past, yeah.
It's a hell of a buzz.
Yes, if I can remember correctly.
You know, it's interesting, our new district attorney here in Orleans Parish, Jason Williams, who isn't going to be district attorney very long because he's got a big federal trial coming up. He's a tax cheat as well, according to the feds, federal grand jury. Looked into this, and they said, oh yeah, there's plenty of evidence here to proceed with a trial. He's tried twice to get his upcoming trial thrown out of court. He's and we've mentioned this. We've talked about this particular case on the show a couple of times. When you're indicted by a federal grand jury, they've already got you. They've already done the legwork. They've already spent the time and done the investigation. It's not like you going out tonight and getting arrested by a cop for whatever reason. This is different when the feds indict you. They've already done all the investigation. And if you look at statistics in American, here in America, if you look at statistics, it's like 98% of the time when you're indicted by a federal grand jury that you're found guilty. It's right around the same percentage of recovering from coronavirus if you get it. But Jason Williams, the district attorney who will be going to prison, he wants all people under the age of 18, he wants them tried in juvenile court. And he wants them to stay in the juvenile court. But this 17-year-old, I don't think there's anything juvenile about him. I think that dude should be tried as an adult.
I'm on the fence with that, but I'm going back and forth. 17 is right around the legal age of 18, and I think he should be held responsible. But if he hasn't committed any murders, let's say he just robbed people, I'm kind of...
He's connected to 50 armed robberies.
Yeah, 50 armed robberies, but how many murders? See, once you've taken a life, yes, try him as an adult. But if he's connected to 50 armed robberies, I think he still has a chance to turn his life around, even with 50 armed robberies.
Really, Coleman?
Yeah, because he's only 17. I believe in second chances, and maybe I'm being naive, but...
How about 50 chances?
Hey, look, I'm just saying, at 17, his brain's still not developed yet. I think there's still... I would go with the optimistic side. If he hasn't committed any violent crime, if he hasn't beaten anybody or killed anybody, and it's just robberies, he just takes the money or takes whatever and leaves, and he hasn't shot anybody... I'm okay with him being.
I disagree with you. Disagree.
And I'm probably in a minority in that.
I guarantee you, most, if not all, people who text us would disagree with you.
I'll admit that I'm probably in the minority in this one. You are in the minority.
He's 17. They haven't released his name yet. I think we need to know his name. I live in New Orleans. He lives in New Orleans. He's been connected to 50 armed robberies. Text us if you're listening. Coleman's wrong, right?
I might be wrong, but this is my personal belief.
No, you're 17. I think in most places in America, he would be tried as an adult. He would be treated as an adult, and I think he should hear. I think there's nothing juvenile about this 17-year-old except for his age, and he's close enough to 18. He's close enough to being an adult. You disagree with Coleman, right? If you're listening, text us. Our number's 504-260-9595. You disagree with Coleman and our soon-to-be-going-to-prison district attorney, Jason Williams, right? This guy, 17 years old, 50 armed robberies he's been linked to. There's nothing juvenile about him. He's an adult. Text us 504-260-9595. Please keep your text short, and if it's good, we'll read it coming up on the show. And please do not text while you're driving. It was a big arrest in New Orleans on Tuesday, and the city. As long as this 17-year-old is behind bars, as long as he's in custody, the city is much safer with him there than it is with him not in custody, with him on the streets. We could sleep better today than we could before this character was arrested. Just imagine that. And I guarantee you, I don't know anything about this guy, but I guarantee you he's a statistic. I guarantee you he doesn't have a father in his life. who can smack him around when he gets out of line, like I was smacked around when I got out of line when I was 17 years old by my father.
So would you agree that maybe he just needs somebody to smack him around and he can turn his life around? He's still kind of young.
Dude.
Should we just cancel him right now and say, look, it's 50 of them. 50 of them that he didn't commit. 50 of them he was linked to. So he might have had other peers and peers around him at the time. So we're just going to...
He's a one-person crime spree. He's a one-person crime wave. If your texts are good, we'll read them coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. If you're just joining us, our show starts at 5:30. Where you been? We were talking about a 17-year-old here in New Orleans was arrested a couple of days ago. And New Orleans police say he's connected to around 50 that they know of, 50 armed robberies. And they went into his house when they arrested him on Tuesday, and they found an arsenal of weapons and ammunition. He had a bunch of ecstasy pills. Dozens and dozens of crimes he's been connected to. And because he's 17 years old, they haven't released his name. I mean, he lives in New Orleans and he's linked to at least that they know of 50 armed robberies. And I mentioned how our new district attorney, Jason Williams, who's got all kinds of problems himself, he's got a trial coming up for being a tax cheat. He's been indicted by a federal grand jury. You know, and voters in New Orleans knew that when they voted for him recently to become the new district attorney of Orleans Parish. He had that, 11-count federal indictment hanging over his head, and the voters here still voted for him. But Jason Williams, the new district attorney, he wants all people under the age of 18 to be tried as juveniles. And I said, this guy's 17. He's robbed at gunpoint at least 50 people that we know of.
See, that's inaccurate. He's linked to the 50 robberies. That doesn't necessarily mean he was the only one committing them himself. When they say linked or connected to, that means he could have been a getaway driver. He could have robbed some of them himself. He could have been involved in giving the arms to the arm. Like, he's connected to the robberies.
He's a one-man crime spree, Coleman.
That's not what it says. It says he's connected to it, not he did it himself. He's connected doesn't mean you did the crime yourself. That means you had something to do with the crime. He could have been a getaway driver. He could have been
arsenal of weapons that they found in his house this week and they arrested him?
He could have been the one giving the robbers the arsenal. He's connected to all 50 of them, but he's not the one committing all 50 of them. Would you clear that up right now?
Well, I don't agree with District Attorney Jason Williams wanting to handle all people under the age of 18 as juveniles. That's how they end up back on the street. This guy's 17. He should be tried as an adult. He should be brought through the system as an adult. Coleman and I disagreed about that, and I asked you to text us. What do you think? I said you agree with me, right? Coleman's wrong, and I asked you to text us.
This text says, "I'm sorry, 50 times, that's too much. Try him as an adult."
Yes, thank you, Texter.
Brett says, "I agree with Coleman. I believe if he's 17 years old and he did not commit any severe injury or murder anyone, he should be given a chance."
Come on, Brett. I disagree with you and Coleman. 50? He's been connected to 50 armed robberies? And when they arrested him, his most recent ones were not that long ago in the Garden District. You can connect him to 50 armed robberies? No, this kid didn't make a mistake. This 17-year-old, he's a one-person crime wave. He's a one-person crime spree. And I know that I slept better the last couple of nights knowing that the New Orleans police arrested this guy and he's in custody. This city is a safer city with him off the streets. It's a better city with him off the streets.
This text says, 50 armed robberies and Coleman thinks he can change? LOL. See, I don't think he can change. I think he should be given a chance to try to change by letting him be tried as a juvenile. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm going to be right. I might even regret that. I'm just saying we should at least try to give him a chance.
I'm saying you're wrong.
All right. This text says, "I agree with Coleman. I was doing the same thing when I was his age, and I took it as a joke, and I didn't realize exactly what I was doing. But I've grown into a man now, working on somebody's job, living in a decent home, and driving a $100,000 sports car on the weekend. So I'm a prime example that people can change when they grow from a boy into a man."
But that texter, I'm willing to bet, yeah, you got in a lot of trouble before you were 18. Did you have an AR-15 style weapon, among other weapons that you were running around with? Because that's what the New Orleans cops took off of this 17-year-old when they arrested him the other day.
So the weapon makes a difference whether he did it with an AR-15 or a six-shooter revolver? That makes a difference?
The AR-15 style gun wasn't the only gun that he had.
Okay, he could have had an entire nuclear arsenal. I'm just saying we should give him a chance to transform. Give him the opportunity. Of course, he's going to be accountable for his actions. The debate is, should he be tried as an adult or a juvenile? This text says, "I don't care how they try him, just lock his ass up."
Thank you.
This last text says, "Coleman, you must have delivered too many chicken wings late last night to get it that wrong." Well, it wasn't the delivery of the chicken wings that took long, just washing dishes afterwards. I didn't get out of work last night till 11:46 p.m. That's how many dishes they had stacked up waiting for me when I finished my deliveries. So, yeah, I'm a little loopy. I didn't get enough sleep last night.
Man, we got to pay you a few more bucks on this job so you don't have to work that second job. I'm trying, Coleman.
But here's the thing. All right, he's 17 years old now. Let's, as a society, say we give him a chance. Let's say, look, we're going to try you as a juvenile. But then when all that's over and done with it and he gets out and he does it again, he's 18 at that point, and then you could try him as an adult. My point is, let's give him a shot. Whether he does the right thing or not, we as a society to say, at least we gave you a shot even though you messed that opportunity up.
Usually, Coleman, you and I think a lot in the same ways. But we are thinking completely different here. This 17-year-old should be tried as an adult, and he should be put away for a very long time. He's not changing. You rob 50 people. They have illegal guns that they found at your house along with drugs.
All right. This text says Coleman is black, so he'll take the punk side. He'll take the punk side. The boy was part of setting the crime in motion. He is guilty. I agree. He's guilty, and I'm not taking his side. I didn't even know what race this kid is. So saying that just because I'm black, I'm siding with the kid, I don't even know what he is. John has the story over there. I don't know whether he's white or black.
We didn't say his race.
Exactly. I'm just saying, I agree that maybe we should try him as a juvenile instead of an adult if he was 17 to give him a shot. It has nothing to do with race. That's just my personal opinion.
No, and Coleman and I usually agree on a lot of the stories we talk about. We agree with how we feel about them, and that's why I'm surprised.
This one says, Coleman, would you feel the same if you were a victim? As a person that delivers chicken wings at night, I have been the victim of a few attempted robberies, and they most were done by kids 15, 16 years old. As a matter of fact, I still get a letter almost every 8 months to go testify in one of the robberies that was accosted against me. It's like some kid is like, come testify. They keep sitting. I don't. I maybe should.
And
go.
Were you robbed of cash or were you robbed I of chicken wings? Or were you robbed of chicken wings?
I was not right. It was an attempted robbery. They tried to rob me, but me being me, a dude from New Orleans that know how to take care of himself, it was a failure. We caught the kid. He's in jail now, and they keep wanting me to testify. But it's like, dude, he was a punk kid. He was trying to get some money up some wings. I'm not that invested in it, you know? I'm wrong for that.
Well, look, we appreciate the texts. Thank you very much. Good job by the New Orleans police getting this 17-year-old who's robbed at least 50 people. He's an armed robber off the streets. I disagree with Coleman, and I disagree with the district attorney, how the district attorney wants to charge everybody under the age of 18 as juveniles. No, this guy knows exactly what he's doing. He's 17. I think he's a few years ahead of his age from growing up here on the streets in New Orleans. And I think he needs to be tried as an adult, and he needs to be off the streets for a long time. I know I'm sleeping better knowing that he's in custody. Hey, coming up on the show, we've got an update on two stories that we've done in recent history. One on the Florida man who was arrested for cutting off his wife's lover's penis. He pleaded guilty to that. I've got his sentence and how long he'll be staying in prison. And there was a story out of a Starbucks in San Diego where a woman was told to wear a mask. She wasn't happy about it. She decided to make a video recording of the whole situation, put it on social media. Social media didn't act and didn't respond the way she thought they would. We've got an update on her. And there are apes in the San Diego Zoo who are getting the coronavirus vaccine before many, many people. Apes! Stay tuned for those reports coming up on the show. We have a lot to do this morning here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I was just reading an interview with Dave Grohl. He said when he was in Nirvana, he felt pretty anonymous. Remember, he joined Nirvana. They had a couple of drummers before him. And pretty much as soon as he joined Nirvana, they hit it big. He said, when Nirvana first became popular, I was 21 or 22 years old. And you know, I was a kid. Before that, all I wanted to do was survive playing music. Really, My biggest aspiration was to have an apartment. He said, then we hit it big not long after I joined the band, and I bought a car, and I thought that was it. He said, he bought a 1960s vehicle, and he said, that was it. He said he thought he had made it, and he never, and then Cobain died. He felt awful. He got away from music for a while. He didn't want to listen to music. And then he started recording music on his own again. And then the Foo Fighters. I mean, how many people that play rock and roll never make it big? Like 99% of them. He not only made it big in one band, he made it big in two bands. I mean, one of the only people in the world that could say I was in two of the biggest rock and roll bands in the world. And here's the other biggest rock and roll band in the world that he was in. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And we have an update on a story we did for you about a week ago. You may recall the story of the Florida man who was arrested for cutting off the penis of a man who was doing sex with his wife. We told you about the story. His name's Alex Bonilla. He's 51 years old. And he lives in Florida now, but he's originally from El Salvador. And I mentioned when we told you about this story last week, how you don't want to mess around with the wives of guys from El Salvador. They don't mess around with you when they find out. And this is a perfect example. I'd read that somewhere. You know, guys from El Salvador. Just if you find out that you're with a woman and she's with some guy from El Salvador, run. I read that somewhere. I don't know exactly where. But he's a Florida man now. He's where he lives. And the update on the story we have is he pled guilty. He didn't plead not guilty and try to lie to authorities. He said, no, I cut off the dude's penis.
Penis.
That's exactly what I did. I got a pair of scissors. He had a gun and a pair of scissors. He had a gun in one hand and a pair of scissors in the other hand. And he pulled the gun on the guy and he said, you've been doing sex with my wife? Oh, yeah? And then he proceeded to use the scissors in his other hand to cut off the man's junk.
And junk.
After he did that, he left the trailer, because this was a trailer where he did this in. I was living in a trailer home. And he had the junk in his hand.
Willie.
After he cut it off, and he left. And he took off with the junk. He didn't leave it there. He took it with him. Much like Lorena Bobbitt when she cut off her then husband's Johnson, John Wayne Bobbitt. She took it with her too. And she was driving down the road and she just threw it out on the side of the road. This guy, Alex Bonilla, he just took the junk out of the trailer and he left.
Johnson.
And unfortunately for the victim, he wasn't able, unlike John Wayne Bobbitt, because John Wayne Bobbitt was able to get his reattached through surgery. Alex Bonilla's victim was not. Well, anyways, he had his day in court. He pleaded guilty. Coleman, take a guess. What do you think his prison sentence was? How many years do you have to spend in prison if you cut off the penis of the man who was doing sex with your wife? How many years in prison do you think that warrants?
I would think his sentence would be proportionate to the endowment of his victim. Like if his victim was well endowed, maybe he gets a longer sentence, but if the victim was a little short, maybe he gets a short sentence. So if I don't know then how large the victim was, it's kind of hard to quantify how much he deserves in prison.
Yeah, I don't have that information in the police report. It doesn't say how big, how large, how long the victim's.
Because I think that's sufficient to the crime. You know, if you have a certain amount of drugs on you, you get a different sentence. So how much of the wee-wee did he cut off? That should.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Coleman, because here's the update on our story. Florida man gets 20 years in prison for cutting off penis of wife's lover. He will spend about 2 decades behind bars. Now, I'm sure good behavior. He might get out in 16 or 17 years. But a Florida man will spend around 2 decades behind bars for pulling a gun on his wife's lover and cutting off his penis with a pair of scissors. Alex Bonilla barged into his neighbor's trailer where he proceeded to threaten the man with a handgun and a metal pipe. He then forced the man into the bedroom of the trailer and tied him up before he forcefully cut off the victim's penis with a pair of scissors. The married father told the man, Alex Bonilla told the man, quote, "This is normal. You will not die today, but you will never forget doing sex with my wife."
Yeah, I think the victim was trying to sue the perpetrator because after he got his wee-wee cutting off, he couldn't use the restroom or do sex with his wife properly. So I was thinking, wait, the guy who got his wee-wee cut off was married himself. So not only was he cheating, but he also got his wee-wee cut off after he got caught cheating. But his wife at the time still was willing to stick with him and even attempt to do sex with him with the cut-off wee-wee. That was the most bizarre part of the story to me.
Yeah, the wife wanted to stay with a guy that not only cheated on her, but only doesn't even have half the penis that he used to have. Boy, that's true love on her part, huh? And after Alex Bonilla cut off the man's junk, he then took the severed appendage and ran across the street to his own home. What if he was waving it in the air as he was running across the trailer park? I wonder if he was waving. He had the penis in his hand. He had his arm over his head. Ah! Yeah, the grisly attack came 2 months after Bonilla had discovered the man was doing sex with his wife. Bonilla pleaded no contest. Last month, the charges of kidnapping, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. In addition to the 20-year prison sentence, Coleman, Bonilla has been ordered to pay more than $251,000 to the victim.
How are you going to get that kind of money in jail for 20 years?
Yeah, I know. Well, there we go. We could wrap up that story. If you're wondering how much prison time you're going to get for cutting off some dude's Johnson who was doing sex with your wife in Florida, for the Florida man via El Salvador, he gets 20 years. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And the LSU football team, there's an investigation going on, and we've talked about it a couple of times on the show, and they're finding out different things that has happened with the LSU football program during this investigation in recent history. And some news broke yesterday that was very disturbing. But we're going to get to that in 1 second. The reason why LSU is being investigated is because there are a few female students who have said that they were sexually assaulted by LSU football players while they were there on campus. And Darius Geis's name keeps coming up. He was the great running back for LSU, who, while he was there, there are women, young women, saying that he and other LSU football players, while they were playing for LSU, sexually assaulted them, and nothing was done about it. Darius Geis, he was a high draft pick, went to the NFL, but he's already been kicked out of the league for sexually assaulting women. He was playing with the Washington football team, and women, at least one up there, said that Darius Geis sexually assaulted her, and he was arrested and charged. And the Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins, they kicked him off the team. He's out of the league, and now he's got to deal with this sexual assault charge on him. And that happened while he was playing for the Washington team in the NFL. But while he was at LSU, nothing happened to him, according to this one woman, when she said that he sexually assaulted her while he was playing in Baton Rouge for LSU. And so because of that, there's a huge investigation going on into the LSU football program, and other things now are coming out because of this investigation. And something that was reported yesterday was extremely disturbing, like this whole story is. It just came out that back in 2013, 8 years ago, while Les Miles was the head coach at LSU, that Miles was reprimanded by LSU back in 2013 for inappropriate behavior with female students. So it's not just the players who are inappropriate with women. According to this report, and again, this came out of this investigation, that LSU reprimanded Les Miles back in 2013. They told him he was not allowed to text anymore because there was more than one student, female student at the time, who said Les Miles brought her to his home and was inappropriate. Former LSU head coach Les Miles was reprimanded back in 2013 after accusations of inappropriate contact with female students. This is what the USA Today newspaper is reporting. And they've been the major publication that was reporting the stuff that got this investigation started in the first place. USA Today referenced an internal investigative report LSU released yesterday. USA Today reported that Les Miles was issued the letter of reprimand and was also required to sign forms stating he had read and understood the school's policies after a law firm investigated the allegations against him. The report added that he was ordered to stop hiring student employees to babysit for his children. And LSU told Les Miles, you are not allowed to be alone with these young women, and that you need to attend sessions with your attorney that you have to pay for out of your own pocket. By the way, Les Miles denies being inappropriate with female students while he was the coach of the LSU Tigers. Les Miles was accused of texting female students, taking them to his home, his condo, alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and on at least one occasion kissing a female student and suggesting they go to a hotel after telling her he could help her in her future career. This is extremely disturbing. USA Today, in their investigation, in their report, stated that the law firm's investigation on behalf of LSU did not uncover evidence that the then head coach had sexual relationships with any of these women, but did find his behavior to be inappropriate. So there was more than one young woman, a student at LSU, while Les Miles was coaching, that said that they felt extremely uncomfortable. And they did tell bigwigs at LSU, and LSU reprimanded the then coach.
So it seems like that's a good thing, right? The accusations were made. Les Miles denied it, but LSU took the proper procedure to say, look, we can't confirm nor deny whether the accusations are true or not, but we will require you to do this, this, that, and the other based on your accusations. They didn't flat out just call the police on them because there was no evidence that he did something criminally wrong, but they did take measures to make sure that he stayed away from those that made the accusations. So although I know the USA Today is trying to prove a point, I think LSU handled it in the right way as best they could based on the evidence that they had at the time. But what the USA Today is trying to do is establish a pattern, saying LSU has a pattern of this type of thing going on since 2013 to make a point today in 2021. That's the whole point of the Les Miles piece that we have right now, even though LSU handled the situation as best they could.
Yeah, they told them. They said, Coach, you can't have do not ask any young female students to be your babysitter, to babysit your kids. And they said, stop texting them. No more. You can't communicate with these students, these female students. And again, Les Miles denied he did anything wrong. He's currently the head coach of University of Kansas football team. And Kansas released a statement saying they didn't know about any of this when they hired him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was an internal thing. LSU got some accusations. LSU handled it within the LSU system.
Yeah, well, now it's going to be interesting to see if Kansas fires him.
I doubt
because
it.
Because of this.
Would you fire somebody over an accusation?
Well, you know, in the era we're in right now, Coleman, you know, with the hashtag Me Too, look at the times we're living in.
Right. But by all accounts, it seems like Les Miles complied with everything LSU reprimanded him to do. It wasn't like he violated. So LSU reprimanded him. They told him, you can't do this, you can't do that. Did they say, well, he violated the stuff that they put him through, or did he comply and say, okay, I'll go to this program, I take lessons, I won't be alone with any of these women, I won't hire any students to be my babysitter? I think if he complied with LSU gave him, then no, he shouldn't be fired from Kansas University or wherever he is today.
Well, Kansas is saying they didn't know about any of this
right
when they hired him a couple of years ago, and we'll see if he keeps his job there, or if they're going to come out and say, look, from what we just found out in this investigation, we just learned something new. We don't want you to be our football coach anymore because of this. Well, we'll see. Again, this came out because of the investigation that's going on into the program related to Darius Geis sexually assaulting women and students, female students, and we, when we've talked about this before, we said we wondered if the female students went to someone at LSU, went to LSU police, went to the Baton Rouge police, and if they did, and if nothing was done about this, that's what this investigation, that's why they're doing this, they're trying to find out who. There are already two higher-ups at LSU who no longer work there anymore because they knew about this and they didn't go to police. Because you would think if you find out some of your football players are sexually assaulting female students, that the police should get involved and that there should be arrests made. None of that happened. And that's why this investigation is going on now. And when this investigation is finished, and when all of the results of this investigation come out, I think you're going to be seeing a harsh punishment for the LSU football program. I think they're going to get smacked and not be able to go to bowls. We'll see. Stay tuned. But the report yesterday, how they reprimanded LSU coach Les Miles in 2013, the university did, for Les Miles having inappropriate contact with female students. But this just gets, this is ugly, and we'll find out what is the punishment is going to be when this investigation is finished and it's reported.
Well, what if there is no punishment? What if they conduct an investigation and they realize, you know what, most of these accusations were uncooperated and our hands are tied. We can't do anything about it. We feel bad if there are any victims. But if there's no evidence, if there's no evidence of wrongdoing, and you find out that LSU did take the proper proceedings with any accusations, should there be a punishment? It's like you're already looking to the future and saying something bad is going to happen. But if the evidence shows that LSU did the
best
thing.
Something bad has been happening.
I'm talking about as far as arrest goals and people getting, I mean, you know, yeah, the two people lost their jobs. But after all of this is over with, what do you think is going to come out of it? You automatically think heads are going to roll off the bat?
I think LSU is going to in trouble, and I think LSU, whether they take scholarships away, whether they tell them you can't play in a bowl game for a year or 2 years, whatever the case may be, because these are serious allegations.
Right, and the court of public opinion has already spoken clearly.
Well, we'll see what happens when this investigation is finished. But the things that we have learned so far because of this investigation, extremely, extremely disturbing. You're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. The big Kardashian sister, Khloe Kardashian, recently had a butt lift. Well, why is that news? Because the doctor that did the butt lift is now being treated for a hernia. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund. Hanging. Over with you. Speaking of hangovers, are you a vodka drinker? Because I was just reading about the founder of Tito's Vodka. He is now worth $9 billion.
Cha-ching.
You know what his name is? His name is Burt Beveridge. I swear, that's his name. They call him Tito, Burt Tito Beveridge. That's his name. He's from Texas, and he founded Tito's Vodka. He's seen his net worth skyrocket recently. People are drinking a lot more during coronavirus lockdowns, Coleman.
I've noticed.
There's not a whole heck of a lot else to do. But he's an interesting character. Again, he's from Texas, and he makes Tito's Vodka out of Austin, Texas. And it's a very interesting story. He graduated from college in 1984. He soon landed a job with a big Texas-based oil company. He worked in Venezuela when they had money. He worked in Colombia. While he was in South America working for the oil company, he began picking wild fruit, fermenting them, and that's when he made his own wine-like beverage. He returned to Texas a few years later, and he started his own oil drinking company. And so he was making piles of money in the oil industry, and then he decided to launch Tito's Vodka. And it's doing very well. But if you're a vodka drinker, I'm not sure if you know this or not. And I found this out when I owned a bar in Miami Beach, Florida for a couple of years. People walk up to bars and they order the high-end vodka. You know, like Tito's or like Grey Goose or like Absolut. And they pay top dollar for top-end vodka. But the bottom-of-the-line vodka, like Popoff, well vodka, they would call it, well drinks. I don't care who you are. Nobody can tell the difference between a high-end vodka and a bottom-of-the-barrel vodka like pop-off vodka. So why then do people spend more money paying for high-end name-brand vodka like Grey Goose, like Absolut, like Tito's, when they will get the same taste and the same buzz from the cheapest vodka you could buy, like pop-off?
To make themselves feel important. Maybe.
I mean, we proved this in my bar. We would take the cheapest vodka and then vodka that people would pay twice as much for, like Grey Goose. We would make them drink it and they couldn't tell the difference.
This text says, none of those vodkas you listed were high-end vodkas.
Well, let me tell you something. You pay a lot more for a bottle of Grey Goose or going to a bar, a Grey Goose and orange juice, than you will for a well vodka, like pop-off, a bottle of that, or a pop-off and orange juice.
You know, the worst scenario I've seen is when Ralph Lauren came up with that line of clothes that looked like painted overalls. It looked like work clothes. But people would pay thousands of dollars just
to have his name
Ralph Lauren on it. Like you could get this at, you could get a Dickies outfit from Walmart, go roll around in paint, and get the same exact results. But since it's Ralph Lauren, you know, all of a sudden, oh, I'll pay $3,000 to look like I just finished painting my roof.
But there are people that'll pay more money just for the name. Give me a Grey Goose, or give me an Absolut, or give me a... Meanwhile, those people cannot tell the difference between Grey Goose, Absolut. There's no difference between that more expensive vodka than the bottom of the barrel cheapest vodka you can buy, like pop-off.
This text says, it's all about the hangover. The better the vodka, the less the hangover, supposedly. So maybe it's not about taste. And I've experienced this with beer, too. Some beers do taste alike to me, but there are some with a better quality that feels better going down, and when I wake up, I do have less of a hangover. So I think there's some truth to that one.
But I used to get a kick out of the people, oh, I only drink Grey Goose. Meanwhile, we would secretly be feeding them pop-off, the cheapest vodka you could buy.
So at your bar.
And they didn't know the difference.
So at your bar, after you finished with a Grey Goose bottle, you would take the cheap vodka and pour it in a Grey Goose bottle and try to pass it off?
No, that's illegal.
Okay. Sure it is. All right, John.
And I'm sure there are a lot of bars that do that. I'm sure there are lots of bars, Coleman.
Everybody is texting saying it's all about the hangover. Less hangover with premium brands. Hangovers are much less worse than cheap vodkas. So maybe it's not about taste, John.
So you can't tell the difference in taste, but the reason why you pay more for the bigger name vodka is because the hangover isn't as bad. Okay, well, at least that makes some sense. Hey, coming up next on the show, we have another update on a story we did. And boy, this story, yeah, this story is something else. How a woman, I guess you could call her a Karen, she tried making herself look good on social media, but it backfired on her. We'll tell you, and now she's suing. Wait till you hear the details of this story coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
You've upset the vodka people, John.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
To 1977. And we're playing... the best rock songs from we're featuring the best rock songs from 1977. And it starts today, actually, with Ginty. Ginty! Coming up after our show. And that'll be really cool. Our tripping back to 1977 weekend. That was a great year for rock and roll.
I wouldn't know.
You weren't born yet, were you?
No.
I was just a child. I was just 10 in 1977. As a matter of fact, Kat, our program director, she asked me for pictures of me from 1977.
Blah, 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 blah.
And I said, I don't have very many, but I was able to find a fourth grade class picture from 1977. She found one of herself too, and she's asking us to post them up on the website or the Bayou Facebook page. We'll do that. But I think it's pretty cool. The weekend that starts with Ginty after our show today, and we will be having a Bayou tripping back to 1977 weekend, and. That'll be, again, a fantastic year for rock and roll.
Do you remember anything specific from 1977, or you just have a combined memory of the 70s overall, not a specific year?
I don't remember that much from 1977, to be honest with you. Although it was fun finding that picture, that fourth grade picture, and that there was a Little League baseball picture. I remember a little bit of that, but no, I don't remember too much from when I was 10 years old. Why, Coleman? Do you remember much from when you were 10 years old?
Not that much, being that I didn't exist yet.
No, but I mean from fast forward a few years later when you were 10 years old. Do you remember much from when you were 10 years old?
No, not specifically, no.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Yeah. The one thing I do remember, life was a lot easier. Life was a lot simpler then. So crank it up this weekend for our tripping back to 1977 weekend. We have an update on a story here that we did a few months ago, and it's back in the news. You may remember the woman, I guess you could call her Karen, I guess because she was a Karen. She went into a Starbucks in San Diego, California. And she went nuts when one of the employees there at the Starbucks, the barista, told her, look, you gotta wear a mask. These are the rules now. So she, on her cell phone, video recorded her lambasting the poor Starbucks employee for doing his job. And she said, how dare you? And she thought, when she went on social media with the video, she thought everybody who watched the video would be on her side. Well, that wasn't the case. A bunch of people watched the video. It went viral. And she was being a Karen. She was yelling at the Starbucks employee for making her wear a mask. And again, he was just doing what he was told. That video got a lot of attention. And somebody set up a GoFundMe for the poor Starbucks employee who was getting yelled at by this Karen. And that GoFundMe brought in over $100,000.
Cha-ching.
So one day, this young guy is working at Starbucks, getting yelled at by a Karen for doing his job. And then a few days later, he's got over $100,000. Well, here's the update on the story. That Karen is suing the GoFundMe creator because she wants at least half of that money. She says, I'm the one that put the video up. Shouldn't I get at least 50 grand? Can you believe that? And she's saying that her and her boyfriend's lives have been negatively impacted by that video going viral. Well, wait a minute. She's the one that put it up there. She thought everybody was, or at least most people, were going to be on her side. But she didn't like the fact that she looks like an idiot, a Karen, in the video. And she says that her life has been negatively impacted by people who saw the video.
So why sue GoFundMe, though? What did GoFundMe do? GoFundMe didn't do anything. GoFundMe is just a vessel that's used for people to donate into the GoFundMe for the barista. GoFundMe didn't do anything. So why sue GoFundMe?
Well, she's suing the GoFundMe because I guess the GoFundMe made it even bigger and made it even worse.
No, somebody made a GoFundMe for the barista. GoFundMe didn't have anything to do with it. Some person.
The guy who made the GoFundMe, his name is Matt Cowan.
Yeah.
And he is being sued.
Oh, Matt Cowan is being sued, not the guy. All right. So here's what I'm asking. Is GoFundMe the website being sued or is the person that started?
They're all being sued.
Okay.
She's suing the person that started the GoFundMe. The woman's name, the Karen's name, is Amber Gillis. She's a yoga instructor.
Oh, that sounds about right.
And she was upset that this became so big and she looks so bad. So she now is suing the guy who created the GoFundMe. The guy's name is Matt Cowan. The Starbucks barista's name is Lennon Gutierrez. And the GoFundMe was titled Tips for Lennon. Because they felt bad for him, this guy, Matt Cowan, felt bad for him that he took so much abuse for just doing his job from this woman. And now the woman saw how much money the GoFundMe brought in, over $100,000, and she wants her share because she said in the lawsuit, you know, if it wasn't for her, he wouldn't have made the over $100,000 on the GoFundMe.
She's right, but so what? So here's the thing. Let's go through the process of what she's doing. She was being, for the lack of a better term, she was being a bitch, okay?
A Karen.
Yeah, or a Karen, right? So she put this video up assuming that people would take her in, but then people called her out for being a Karen.
Yes.
So the GoFundMe started. She wanted some of the money. Well, they denied her the money. So she's saying, well, I want to sue because of the negative impact of people calling me Karen. I think I should get some money for that since I'm the one that posted the video up. So
yes.
If she's trying not to look like a bitch, she's looking more of one
because yes.
Now she's suing. Seems like everything she's doing to prevent herself being known as a Karen is making her look more and more and more like a Karen.
Yeah, she says that that people are calling her house. And some people are, because, you know, her name is out there. And I guess some people are showed up at her house and you know, you bitch, you Karen, whatever the case may be. And now she's suing because do you think, if you're listening right now, do you think she has anything here? Or do you think, like me, this is an absolutely frivolous lawsuit that's wasting the court's time? Coleman, what do you think? You think she should get any money out of this?
Bitch, please.
No.
Either do I. I mean, she does make a point that if it wasn't for her, the Starbucks barista who she was going up one side and down the other because he told her to wear a mask, he was doing his job. She says if it wasn't for her posting the video, nobody would have known about it and he wouldn't have made the over $100,000. It was $105,000.
Them's the breaks.
Yeah.
Them's the breaks.
I hope a court of law in our country doesn't award her any of this money. I think this money all should go to who the GoFundMe was set up for. The poor guy working at Starbucks who was getting yelled at by the Karen.
Basically, she's trying to tell people what to do with their money. That's basically what that's the dumb part about it. When it comes to GoFundMe, people are saying, look, I'm going to give my money to Lennon because I seen what happened to him. But now she's saying, no, it's me. I had something to do with it. She's trying to tell people where they should put their money. And that's all the way immoral. It makes it look even more like a Karen.
She does make one valid point, though. If it wasn't for her, he wouldn't have gotten the $105,000 in the GoFundMe.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, she doesn't deserve any of that money. She is suing to get at least half of that money in a court of law. If you're listening right now, I mean, do you think she deserves anything? I don't. Text us 260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. But her plan backfired. She put the video on social media because she thought it was going to make her look good.
And shame him and shame Lennon.
But in the end, it made her look bad, and she's the one getting shamed. And now she's so upset about it, she's suing.
Making herself even look that much worse.
Boy, we're the greatest country in the world here in the United States of America. But it's some country we're living in right now, isn't it? Hey, coming up, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and I think it's the dumbest thing I read all week. It has to do with a zombie apocalypse. Stay tuned for that. And text us, what do you think about this woman's lawsuit? Should she get any of this money? Or should all of that money stay with the poor Starbucks employee?
He's not poor anymore.
Who she was yelling at. Yeah, right here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, we had an update on a story we've talked about on the show. Last summer, a woman in San Diego went into a Starbucks. She got so upset that the Starbucks barista, the employee, told her to wear a mask. She didn't like being told to wear a mask. He was just doing his job. So she started video recording her yelling at him. And she thought, and then she put it on her social media. She was being a Karen. She thought that people that saw the video on social media would be on her side, but it was the exact opposite. People watched the video and were all like, why are you yelling at this kid for just doing his job? Some guy felt so bad for the Starbucks employee, he set up a GoFundMe for him. The GoFundMe raised over $105,000. The guy who set up the GoFundMe, his name is Matt Cowan. The woman who this backfired on, her name is Amber Gillis, and she is now suing Matt Cowan because she wants at least half of that money. She, you know, again, she said her life was negatively impacted. By the way, she's the one who recorded the video. She's the one who posted it to social media, and it backfired on her. So she shouldn't get it done. The update of the story, she is now suing Matt Cowan, the creator of the GoFundMe account for the Starbucks employee. She's suing him. She wants at least half of that money. And in my opinion, she shouldn't get a dime. She did this all to herself. And we asked you to text us.
His first text says, do I think she should get half? No, but she's right. If she wasn't being such a bitch and posted that video, she wouldn't have ruined her life.
She did it to herself. Nobody else did it.
Joey C. says, if she thinks she deserves any money, tell her go post her own GoFundMe. Until then, keep her grubby hands to herself. This text says, so if I hit somebody with my car and they sue me, should I get half of the money because they got it? If I didn't hit them, they wouldn't have gotten the money. No. So she should get fined $50K for being so stupid.
Yeah, she says if I didn't post the video, he wouldn't have made the money.
Hippie says, I think she should start her own GoFundMe so she can buy an adult. Okay, Hippie, no. I can't read that. But yeah, we get the gist of it, Hippie. Hippie, behave yourself.
We appreciate the texts, as always. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and it has to do with our government and a zombie apocalypse. That's next. here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and it's about that time where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. The United States government has a zombie apocalypse preparedness guide. The reason I bring this up is because Nostradamus, some say, predicted this year, 2021, a zombie apocalypse will happen. And I got to be honest with you, as we sit here in March of 2021, after going through 2020 and the first couple of months of this year, nothing would surprise me. So if we did have a zombie apocalypse, if all of a sudden I looked out the window and I saw 50 zombies walking down Poydras Street here in New Orleans, I wouldn't be shocked. I didn't think a virus could shut down the whole country for a year. I didn't think that was possible. So, what's interesting, Coleman, you ever read much of Nostradamus? I mean, he wrote stuff a long time ago, and there's a lot of people that believe in, you know, a lot of the stuff that he wrote looks like it has happened in recent history.
I'm familiar with the TV shows about him and how they take what he say and they put him in a certain context to make it seem like he predicted the future.
Yeah, well, he was a French philosopher back in the day. And some are claiming that Nostradamus predicted a zombie apocalypse for 2021. And wouldn't you know, the CDC in our country, that's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, you know, they've made headlines for all the last year, too, because of the coronavirus. The CDC offers a zombie preparedness guide. Can you believe that? In the preparedness guide, this is the federal government, the United States, the CDC. In their zombie preparedness guide, it says that we have to store at least 1 gallon of water per person per day in our homes to prepare for a zombie apocalypse.
Well, let's stop right there. 1 gallon of water per person per day. It seems like they anticipate how many days the zombie apocalypse is going to be if said zombie apocalypse happened. How are we going to know how many days the zombie apocalypse is going to last if there is a zombie apocalypse? So that's flaw number one. Oh, well, flaw number 80 when you consider the fact that they have one of these things in the first place.
Well, they don't know exactly how long the zombie apocalypse will last.
Right, so the first preparedness thing doesn't even get you prepared. It's already a failure.
But they say you should have at least 3 days, although a 2-week supply would be even better. So anywhere from 3 to 14 days, I guess that's what they're saying, is how long the zombie apocalypse could last. Anywhere from 3 days to 14 days.
That's exactly how long they told us the lockdowns were going to last year. How about that?
Yeah, we're coming up on the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of the 15-day lockdown.
Didn't we already have the zombie raccoons in City Park? You think that's how it's going to happen? You think somebody's going to be jogging in City Park and one of the zombie raccoons?
I don't know if those raccoons were actual zombie raccoons, Coleman. I think they looked like zombies, but I don't think they were actually undead zombies, raccoons. I don't think they were undead raccoons.
This is crazy.
So again, according to the United States federal government's Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, in their zombie preparedness guide.
Somebody took out taxpayer money and paid these people to come up with a zombie apocalypse preparedness guide with our money, John.
And they tell you, make sure you have, just like the water, you have enough food for a few days. Make sure you have some non-perishable canned goods in your house. Make sure that your medicines, your medicine, your prescriptions and non-prescription medication. Make sure you have enough of that. Again, anywhere from 3 to 14 days worth of medicine, too. The CDC suggests having things like a utility knife, duct tape, and a battery-provided radio. A smartphone may not be as usable should the cellular network and internet go down, because one of the things, I guess, that zombie apocalypses are known for, it could knock out the internet and the electricity.
Anything else? I'm waiting for something specific to pop up. What other preparedness do they have, right quick? I'm looking for something specific.
Make sure you have enough soap, household bleach, and towels.
Okay, I come to my conclusion. Basically, what the CDC wants you to do, based on their preparedness list, is to run and hide. Nowhere in that whole thing do they have ammunition, shotguns, axes.
They don't tell us how to defend ourselves against zombies.
So that's how you know. Look, if there is a zombie apocalypse, you can get your soap and your bleach and your ham radios and your gallons of water or whatnot. I'm going to stock in on some buckshots, a shotgun, maybe a Mossberg, maybe one of those AR-15 style guns, a pickaxe, a regular axe, a spiked baseball bat.
Well, it says have first aid supplies as well. But Coleman, the CDC does warn that a Band-Aid won't do a whole heck of a lot if you get bitten by a zombie.
Yeah, but you're not going to get bitten if you're the zombie's head.
Well, would that work? I mean, you could have a shotgun blow off the zombie's head, but won't he still keep coming at you?
But he can't bite me. How you can't bite without a head?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm writing this down. Hang on. Shoot zombie in head.
I want my money back. However much money they paid to make the zombie preparedness list without tax dollars, I want a refund immediately.
And finally, in the CDC says in their zombie preparedness guide that you should have your driver's license, a passport, and your birth certificate, just to make sure you have your important documents lined up.
Show us your papers during the zombie apocalypse.
If you're battling with zombies. So anyways, the fact that the CDC here in the United States has a zombie preparedness guide for a zombie apocalypse.
And they got paid for it.
That's the dumbest thing that I read all morning. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.